fight and bicker, and it's terrible. And the man said, that's our tradition. Traditions can add color to our culture. They can bring a sense of unity, a sense of belonging, and sadly, they can also be very bad things. You know, like hazing that gets out of hand is a tradition. Hazing is a tradition. It getting out of hand is a very bad thing. As we read today's passage, we'll see a very bad tradition that Jesus takes exception to. So defilement will be our first topic. Mark chapter 7, verse 1, the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw that some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. As we read on in the text, you'll see religious defilement was the concern of the Pharisees, but defilement of the heart was Jesus' concern, you know, evil thoughts, deeds, filth, and uncleanness in the heart. But Mark first, since he's writing to Gentiles, has to explain the Jewish tradition of washing, not just the hands, all the way up to the elbows, like going into surgery. Not just their hands, but also cups and pitchers and kettles. So verse 3, the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the market, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as washing of cups and pitchers and kettles. So the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands? They might as well have asked Jesus with some disdain, hey, why are your disciples so immoral? Well, and that's kind of what they were implying. Jesus must be a bad leader if he allows this kind of rebellious behavior to take place in plain sight. Everyone knows you wash your hands before you eat. That's been tradition for years and years. But where did that man-made tradition come from? Yeah, that man-made tradition probably came from one verse in Leviticus 15:11. Anyone the man with a discharge touches without rinsing his hands with water must wash their clothes and bathe with water, and they will be unclean till evening. Who knows if you've come in contact or touched somebody unclean, so the tradition was to wash your hands just to be sure up to your elbows before you eat. And after all, when the priests were going to do all their ceremonies, first they'd come to a basin and wash their faces, their hands, and their feet. But Jesus believes the Pharisees are missing something much more important than their hand-washing tradition. Jesus has seen the Pharisees put aside God's actual laws by making their traditions more important than following God's word. So he calls them out as hypocrites. He replied, Isaiah was right when he pronounced about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are mere human rules. Vain worship. I wrote here, it would be really, really sad. But that, I looked at it this morning and go, nah, that's too tame. It would really, really be awful for you to spend your life coming to church like you did today, coming to worship like you did today, coming to listen to messages like you're doing right now, giving to God's work as you have means. And here's a commercial. You know, we make very little to do about offering. We don't pass the plates around, but there is a plate on the back table if you ever want to worship God that way. It would be really, really awful to do all these things and yet have your worship of God in vain, your service of God in vain, and receive nothing of value for it. It'd be really awful to do these things and then stand before the throne of grace and not hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, but hear, as it says in Matthew 7:23, I never knew you. And these people had said, you know, didn't we do all these things in your name and stuff? And Jesus says, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. There was a preacher. I assume he was a preacher. F. Noble was his name. And in 1907, he wrote these words about vain worship. Only worship inspired by obedience can be acceptable to God. Only worship inspired by obedience to God's commands can possibly bring anything, any satisfaction to our hearts. Worship is not a grand assembly. Worship is not perfect music. Worship is not a ceremonial reverence for the law, but worship is when the commandment smites your heart, and we hear with penitent accusation, thou art the man, and our hearts cry out, wash me thoroughly, wash me clean. Worship looks beyond itself. It looks inward to reform oneself, and worship looks outward to service. Now Jesus makes this charge against the Pharisees. You have to have let go of God's commands and are holding on to human traditions. Wow. And, you know, Lord, help us. Lord, show us our faults. Convict our hearts when we put tradition above serving you and following your commands. Amen? Amen. Excuse me. And he continued, you have a fine way of setting aside God's commands, the commands of God, in order to observe your own traditions. Oh, talk about a backhanded compliment there. What were they doing wrong? Let's see. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother should be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares what they might have been, what might have been used to help their father or mother is Corban. It's devoted to God. Then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify God's word by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that. Corban is a transliteration of a word, a Hebrew word, from the Old Testament. And so when the Israelites crossed the Jordan and they were going to attack Jericho, God said, this city, unlike most of the others, is Corban. It means it's totally dedicated to God. They weren't supposed to get any spoils from it. Anything they were supposed to burn everything that could burn, and anything that couldn't burn, like the gold and the silver, was going in the treasury. And if you know the story, it was a great victory. But then one guy, Achan, he kept a garment and he kept a bag of money, and he snuck them to his tent and buried them under his tent. And that brought judgment first on the nation of Israel. It also brought severe judgment on Achan. So that was Corban in the Old Testament. Corban in the New Testament appears that at that time, You could declare something to be korban, to be dedicated to God, and it seems like sometimes you didn't really have to give it away. Thank you. You could use it for now. Perhaps the local rabbi, perhaps the local Pharisee, was convincing people, hey, Janelle, you know the trendy thing to do is to declare some of your property to be korban. And when you do that, you know, you'll be more spiritual. You'll be more holy. Let's say you dedicated a room in your house to God. Wouldn't that be awesome? Dedicate a room in your house to God, so spiritual. This room is korban. It's dedicated to God. So anytime there's a visiting missionary, minister, except for Jesus, you know, they could stay in your room because it's dedicated to God. And then your folks get old. And you say, well, I got this spare guest room. And your rabbi friend comes over, Pharisee friend comes over and says, no. That is korban. It is dedicated to God. You can't let your parents stay there. That's for the visiting missionaries and stuff. That's how I can imagine it could play out. It could also just be that, yeah, they gave a chunk of money to the temple. And so they don't have it to spend on their folks. But whatever, however it played out, they were dedicating stuff to God and possibly still getting the service of it and using that as an excuse not to help parents. So Jesus took issue with that, of what really defiles a person. He took that to the crowd. He said, again, Jesus called the crowd to him, verse 14, listen to me, everyone, and understand this, nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. And you know something? It wasn't just the Pharisees who were shocked and confused by what Jesus said. It was also his disciples. So as soon as they got alone with him, they said, what is this parable? Jesus says, are you so dull? Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of the body. In saying this, Jesus declared all food is clean. So Jesus, after a little chastising of the disciples, are you still so dull? He explains that, you know, what you eat, what goes in your mouth doesn't defile you before God. So the rabbis were wrong. What you are eating without washing your hands, you know, you may get a little grime in your food. That doesn't defile you before God. You could get a little sick, but God won't be sick of you for what you ate with unwashed hands. Mark, our writer here, you know, he throws out this thought that Jesus declared all food is clean. That certainly wasn't something that stuck in the disciples' heads at the time. Or years later when Peter had that vision, you know, three times the sheet coming down and the voice saying, you know, kill and eat. Peter going, no, I've never eaten anything unclean. And God used that so that he'd be willing to go visit an unclean Gentile, Cornelius. And so at the time, the disciples didn't get that, oh, now all foods are clean. But that's the first time we see it recorded that all foods are clean. So what defiles a man, a woman, or a child? Jesus went on. What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from inside and defile the person. So Jesus is saying defilement comes from our hearts. If our desires are evil, then our actions will reflect it. Our evil actions defile us. Do you feel good about your heart? Should you trust it? Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and beyond cure, who can understand it?" Like the Pharisees of old, churches have a lot of man-made rules. Sometimes there was just too much focus on these rules and not on God's rules. God says, dress decent, dress modest. Men's rules at times have said, hey guys, three-piece suits, or don't come. Women, you know, skirts, dresses only, the hair length. You know, God's rules on hair, well, there's not much. Nazirite wasn't supposed to cut his hair, and the Jewish men not trim the corners of their beards or the little tassly things around their temples. Yeah, but not much is said. But you know, at times, you know, hair should, guys, your hair should not go below your collar. Else, you know, your hair should never be bobbed like a boy. In Christ, there's much freedom. In Christ, there are far fewer rules. Often the intent of the heart is the main point of the rule. But considering today's passage, we need to consider the sin in our hearts. We need to consider what clear rules from God we've nullified, we've made excuses for because of our traditions. Traditions, they can give us an identity. They can help us be in a group, but they can also be evil. You know, like the tradition of somebody turns, I said 18 and my wife corrected me. Somebody turns 21 and you take them out to get stinking drunk on their birthday. That is not a good tradition. We need to examine our hearts and our traditions. And sometimes the eye can be talked about the same as the heart is talked about for good or evil intent. Listen to Jesus' words from Matthew. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? As we close in prayer, I'll start off with the lyrics of the song, "Change My Heart, O God." And thank God for the freedom we have from not having to follow all of men's rules. Ask Him to point out the darkness in our own hearts and cleanse us as we act, before we act out on the darkness in our hearts, before it spills over into action. So let's pray. Lord, we do pray, change our hearts, O God. Make it them ever true. Change our hearts, O God, may we be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold us, make us, this is what we pray. Lord, as a leopard can't change his spots, we can't really change our hearts, but you can cleanse us from all sin. You can give us clean hearts. Take out those hearts of stone and give us soft hearts, willing to obey, willing to say thank you, Lord, whether you've given great blessings or great losses like Job. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed and live different because Jesus is in your life.